Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning in to episode 93 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Sunday, February 4th, 2018. Thanks for joining us today. I think I already said that. Sorry, we were in the middle of talking and I just pushed record. So I'm Summer. You can find me on all of the interwebs pretty much as Summer Yarns. All of my contact information is actually in my Ravelry profile as well as on our blog, which is blog, which is kitchenstitches.com, which is also where you can find our show notes. I am here with Katie and Darcy as well. They're busy, so I'll introduce them. Katie is, actually, I can never keep Katie's handles straight, so I'm gonna let her introduce herself after all.
I'm gonna push that more in the middle.
Yes, we'll push this more in the middle. Okay. There we go.
I'm Katie. I go by KDB, KAYTEEBE on Ravelry, KDBKT on Instagram. And if you go to my Ravelry profile, you can see the links to Instagram, Twitter, Goodreads, all there.
And I'm Darcy. I'm slightly foxed on everything. SLIGHTLYFOXED. I have to think in my head.
Spelling's hard.
It is. Spelling is hard. Words are hard. On all the things except for Instagram, it's slightly underscored boxed because somebody was stupid. Anyway.
And I hope that someone's not listening. No.
I don't care. Yeah. They should, like,
you stole Darcy's name.
I'm branded, baby.
I don't know how long this one will be. It's the first time we've recorded all three together in a little bit. I don't have as much, and Katie doesn't have as much, but because Darcy hasn't joined us, she has quite a bit.
So I do.
So it'll all even out.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. It's good. I am glad we're all here together. So we've got pretty much a little bit of everything. Finished objects, works in progress, books, all of the good stuff. Like I said, you can find our show notes at kitchenstitches.com. So let's get started with finished objects. And I'll go ahead and start because I really don't have very much at all and actually don't have any of them with me. I did finish my Willy Wonka blanket that I have been talking about for the past year. It's a crocheted big giant crocheted granny square using the Madeline Tosh Willy Wonka colors that were part of the Eat Sleep Knit Yarnathon this past year. I ended up using 7 of the 12 colors. Three of the colors weren't in the same color scheme and they would have looked weird. Plus they were very saturated and Madeline Tosh is known for bleeding and I didn't want to risk that. And then, 2 of them I was unable to snag. So those are the 5 that I didn't. But I ended up with Willy Wonka, which was kind of a dark gray with flecks of purple and lime green and I don't remember what all colors. And then Fizzy Lifting Drink, which was a lighter gray that had flecks of black. I think that was all. Like I said, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going from memory. Then I had Mike TV, which was white with red and blue speckles. Violet Beauregard, which was a blueberry color. Snozberry, which was white with fluorescent sprinkles, and Wonka Wash, which was a kind of a pastel blues and purples, I think, and Slugworth, which was a dark kind of a charcoal gray. And like I said, it was a just one big granny square, and then the last color, Slugworth, I did one row of the granny square pattern, and then I did about 3 or 4 rows of single crochet around to make a border. And it turned out probably about 4, let's see, it wasn't my full wingspan, so probably like maybe 3.5 to 4 feet square, and pretty much perfect to take to work and use as a lap blanket.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I decided not to leave it at home because one of the cats, Oliver, I'm pretty sure, is absolutely fascinated with that yarn and likes to snuggle it, and I know, not I'm not I was not suspicious of it, but I knew for sure that he would have chewed a hole in it, and that would have not made me happy. So, if you remember, which I just barely do, early on in this blanket, he actually did chew through it, and I had to back up a little bit, so I know that it would have happened. So, it's a work. And I got funny looks the day I brought it in from my boss when I was sitting talking to me. I put a blanket across my legs, but it was cold. He did agree that it was very nice yarn, though. And then the other finished objects I have, these are also at work just because I forgot to bring the bag back. When we last recorded, I talked about I was going to try to build up a stash of inventory to potentially sell at some point. So I worked on dishcloths or dishcloth type items, and I used Red Heart's cotton scrubby, which is it's cotton, just nubbly yarn. It actually works great for dishcloths, which, I mean, that's pretty much what it's for. And I think I made 4 out of 1 skein. One was a pretty nice large square. Then I made 2 smaller squares and 1 like a flower petal shaped. And I've been using one at home and it works great. So I highly recommend the yarn if you want to do some just really basic crocheted dishcloths. Then I also used some of the Red Heart Scrubby Sparkle, which is, it looks like fun fur, but it's a plasticky.
Is that hard on the hands?
Not too bad.
Okay, because I keep looking at it.
As long as you crochet or knit at a loose enough gauge.
Okay.
It's not something I would want to work on for hours, but it didn't bother me.
It looks like it'd be hard on the hands, but amazing to wash dishes
with. Yeah, and I haven't tried, I made, I attempted to make one of these. It kind of looked like one of the bath sponge things.
Oh, yeah.
This one was knit. You knit on the bias, and then you sew up the sides, and you're supposed to pull, and it makes this nice little scrubby spiral thing. The pattern was called Tribble. And if you watch the Yarn Hoarder podcast, she made several at one point. It didn't work for me. I pulled it and it made this big like mess.
Smooth yarn.
Yeah,
almost have to use cotton.
Yeah, I think like I would need cotton. to maybe try one with a different yarn first to get the idea down. But this did not work. So that was one fail. But then I also made one that was just a round, two-sided scrubby that I think will work really nicely. And then I'm almost done. I'll count it as a finished object because I won't talk about them again. But I did like a bath mitt, and that one took a lot longer than I thought it would for crochet. I'm using too big of a needle, which means the thing's pretty big, but I can't really judge because my hands are really small. So it looks really big on my hand, but it might be fine for someone with just slightly bigger hands. I'm on the thumb of that mitt, and so I'm almost done. I'm probably about 3 rows away from being done, but I didn't have time to finish it on Friday. So those were I was working on those over my break and lunchtime when I got a chance at work. So those are the only finished knit crochet items, but I do have a couple of spinning finished items, which I have with me. So the first of these Darcy's going to love.
I've been eyeing it so much.
Heavenly Fibers, 100% Targi, and it is this just kind of electric blue and purple. I got this at Houston Fiber Fest this past year. This one, we were just getting ready to go to lunch, and I almost bought one. There was one I really liked, and I was like, oh, I'll come back. And, of course, when I came back, that particular one was sold, but she had another, and I'm sure it was probably almost exactly the same. But this, I measured it, and I got it like 540 yards, it's like light worsted DK.
It's beautiful.
It's super squishy and really pretty, and I have no idea what it will become. It would be perfect for like a baby sweater or something to give to someone who is a knitter who knows how to take care of it.
Right.
I wouldn't want to give it to someone who didn't, just because I don't think that's fair.
No, that's not fair. But my gosh.
Because I'm sure it'll
It's fill. Killing me. Yeah, it is just killing
really,
me.
Really beautiful, just royal nice.
It's like all the shades of blues and purples that I absolutely love. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then the second one I finished is
That's gorgeous too.
In silk in the rosewood colorway by Greenwood Fiberworks. And it is it's just the softest.
It is so pretty. I'm petting. It's so pretty. It's shiny. It's really
super shiny. It's like it's gonna be really drapey. It's heavy.
Yeah, no, it'll be the drape will be beautiful.
But it's not densely spun, but it's just I guess I don't know. It'll be super drapey, and I don't remember how many yards this is. It was like 240, I think, if I remember correctly. So it'll be maybe a nice cowl or something. It's got to be something up around the
neck. It does, yeah.
It's just so soft.
It's so pretty.
But that's it. Those are my only finished objects. And Katie, you don't have any finished objects, right?
Oh, boy. Okay, so strap in, kids. I've been doing like I was looking at my list of finished objects, and I have like a mess of amigurumi that I've done, but it's too many to list, so I'm going to keep it short-ish. One is I finished the Shield of Tomorrow Targ puppy. If you remember, there's a role-playing game show that I watch called Shield of Tomorrow, which is Star Trek based, and now it's on YouTube for free.
Oh.
So yeah, so now you don't have to do the subscription thing. They've started over from the beginning. Mm. It's for me it's kind of like a combination between like radio and improv and fun to watch, but with the Star Trek nerdness. Anyway, so I knit them a targ, which is basically it's like a big Klingon pig with like multiple horns.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out so cute and so squishy. And then, so I mailed it on the beginning of November, and I was all excited waiting to see them open it, and they didn't, and then 2 weeks, and they didn't, and so I started making like, did you get it kind of thing? Cause it's like, according to the stuff that the post office was sending me, it looked like it had been delivered to their PO box. And so finally I started getting like people in the show involved of like, can we, and what they ended up doing is like, I don't think they expected the show to have the fandom that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't been checking their mail.
Oh.
So the beginning of December, they had to spend like a half an hour of the show opening packages that people had sent them. And people sent them really wonderful things.
Uh-huh.
But the last thing they opened was the targ that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so squishy. It got the exact reaction that I want. Everybody passed it around and squealed and hugged it. And the funny thing is, in the show itself, it had these like really emotional moments. So anytime someone was getting like super emotional and cry, they would just hand them the targ and they would be like hugging it and like kind of rocking back and forth. And then somebody else would have a bad moment. So they'd hand over the targ and it was so really awesome. It was so awesome. Bonnie Gordon, who, if you've ever watched the show The Quest or heard Library Bards, they kind of do like nerdy parody music. She's on the show and she became obsessed with it. She is I'm actually making one for her. She's mm-hmm. commissioned me to make one.
Oh,
and now she's paid me money, so now I have to like follow through. this past Friday when they did their show, what they do, they record it live and then people chat and then it goes, video on demand.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And she knew that she was going to have some emotional. So I was like, I saw the targ there and uh-huh. I was so excited. And then I tweeted her and saying it, bring it to the after show. And it was in the after show and they were putting like astronaut helmet on it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, so I'm going to try and get some screen caps of it.
That's
it was really cool to see that kind of, that kind of thing happen.
When you posted about that,
it's hard to explain what it is.
And, but Eli, my son, he's 19, walked past and he's like, oh, who is that? I've seen that person before. And we looked up and he's like, no, it isn't who I thought it was, but it was still so funny because I was like, well, you really could know who
it really could know. Yeah.
He may very well have seen but he thought it was really cool.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a, you know, if you like Star Trek, it's one of those things. It's a good background noise kind of thing, especially because you don't have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just listen to it, but it was really gratifying to see that. So that's nerdy amigurumi number one. Nerdy Amigurumi number 2 is my Porg of Spite. Okay, so, you know, Last Jedi came out, and we went and saw it, and we walk out, and my daughter, who is 10, was all excited and says, I want a Porg. And then she looks straight at me and says, I don't want you to make it. Oh. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, you little. And, I think I finally said, fine, I'll make one myself. Which is, Geeky Hooker, who is hilarious on Twitter. She did a really good pattern. It's teeny. It's like a 3-inch thing, as it turns out. And she also has a book out called, I think it's called like Literary Crochet, where it's like little tiny figures that are like,
I think I've seen that.
It's a cute book. It's a really cute book. I need to buy it. Sorry, Geeky Cooker. I haven't bought it yet. library has, but, I made one. I like cranked it out in 45 minutes. And then of course my daughter walks by and goes, oh my gosh, that's so cute. And I went, oh, I thought you didn't want one. Well, I didn't know it would look like that. I'm like, well, what did you think it would look like? It looks like a porg. Of course it does. I think what it is with sometimes with crochet, I think she doesn't like the texture of it because, you know, it can have like
a bumpy,
And I think if I use different yarn for stuff, I think she might like stuff better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I had it in my office for a while and then I finally gave in and brought it home and then the dog ate it.
Oh,
I know. So after all that, I'm probably going to have to make another one. It cranks out in like 45 minutes. It's a really great pattern. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of color changes to watch with it, but it's a really cute, it would make like great ornaments too.
Jimmy and Eli have something about the porg. I don't actually, a lot of this seemed to have transpired like over Christmas when I was not home.
Oh no.
And I don't know if Jimmy had like spoken disparagingly of porgs or what, but Eli for Christmas, Eli was so proud of himself this year because this is the first year he's had a job, and so he was able to actually buy gifts.
Oh, that's awesome! No, that's big.
On us to fund this, so he had ordered this huge porg mug for Jimmy. he was so proud of that.
That's awesome.
So but that might be a good.
That's awesome. Good it's a great. There's a lot of porg patterns out there. Mm-hmm. This one, like I said, this one is free. It's teeny. It cranks out in 45 minutes. So I really. Plus, like I said, she's a whole lot of fun on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And she's very, and on Instagram, super responsive. So, and then one thing that hasn't been as nerdy, you know, I've been I have a lot of sock yarn. And so, I've been trying to kind of work with sock yarn to see if I want to do it in amigurumi. It's so tiny. So from the, One Skein Wonder, crochet book, Deb Ritchie, who I know from Crafty Deb, who has a lot of great, I've done a lot of her, designs. She has a rabbit called, Bernie the Bunny. And,
cute.
And so I did, he's sitting here. I did one in, it's an acrylic sock yarn that we had talked about it that I had picked up and I actually made some yoga socks out of it. But, the feel of this particular yarn is kind of it ends up feeling like cotton, but he turned out really cute. And it also there's enough body so that his ears kind of bend all over. So
this tail.
Her tail, it's like, she basically is just a bunch of loops. It's not like a proper pom-pom. It's just a bunch of loops. So he turned out super cute. He's going to sit on my desk, you know, in April and. I'm really proud of him. I think he turned out really well. And I'm going to play around with more sock yarn. Amigurumi, see what I can do.
The white
has some purple speckles that kind of bled through. And so it doesn't look all white, which I kind of like. Other finished objects. I had talked about Nerd Girls. Nerd Girl yarn in the Coraline colorway that had been sitting in my stash for like a billion years and tried to be like a billion things before I finally settled on, made a Fruju hat. which is a little slouch.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very cute, and it's a great, and I added a great big blue button on the front. The Coraline colorway has like two shades, has like a dark, like a royal blue and a light blue, like kind of like the movie Coraline, and then pink and then yellow for her coat. So I did a hat. I also did from another One Skein Wonders, the Spring Garden Shorties. I think this is from the sock yarn book. So I made and I forgot how much I love making like little fingerless gloves. They crank out so fast. But I have those, and then I think I have enough that I will either I don't know, I'll turn it into like an ornament and then add it to another project that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is a couple years ago I had bought a sock blank at Houston Fiber Fest.
I remember.
It was Western Skies Knit in Cosmic, and I finished Close to You on Friday, and then I aggressively...
pretty.
I aggressively blocked it and wore it today, actually, but it turned out really, really well. It was cool watching the speckles become... the dots become stripes, and...
That's pretty.
And it really... Pretty. It's very soft. It stretched out. I think I have my my blocking mats were in an L shape across the table, and then of course I have to cover it up because the cat sit on
right.
it. But it turned out this one. I'm really happy. I think this is one that I'm gonna wear a lot because it drapes so perfectly and it flings really well. So those are my finished objects.
Works in progress. I mentioned, I guess in the last episode, maybe even before then, no, because we had a huge hiatus after or before, like around Thanksgiving. But I've been fairly monogamous. Like I've got the little projects going at work, and then I've mostly chosen one knit project or crochet project to work on during the week. And I just love the amount of progress that I can actually make on something when I do that. My brain is starting to kind of rebel a little bit. I cleaned yesterday a little bit around. One of the cats had jumped up on the shelving where all of my knitting is, and it had been piled, so there was just piles of stuff. So I spent 15-20 minutes or so kind of cleaning that up, and in the process, I've had like these containers. This is a tangent. Oh, well. I have the little Sterilite, like, mini drawer cabinets that I had bought to organize my needles in, but I hadn't bought enough. A while back, I bought two more, and they sat in my room for a while, and then I moved them, and they moved them to the right area, but they still sat. Well, yesterday, I actually organized those. I pulled... there were several project bags that still had the leftover yarn in it from other projects. So I cleaned those out and put them all into the bin that I have with all of my bags. And I looked at the bags and I'm like, that's a lot of bags and a lot of empty needles. And I was like, maybe I'll cast some stuff on. But that's another segment. But for now, I'm... still fairly monogamous. So I think these are somewhat in order from the weeks since we podcast last, but I have my mitered square sock blanket, the cozy memories blanket or whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, I'd work on it here and there, but I had put, you know, I don't know, maybe five or so squares on it in the past year. I just hardly worked on it. So I threw it into the mix of a project that I would devote time to. So I got 10, bleh, I am not making words. I put, I think, 10 squares on it over the course of a week, which was great. I also took it and looked at it. So the way I've been working it, I've just been working along lines. And it was, when I first cast it on, and joined the squares together. I think I put 14 along the bottom, 14 or 15, and then started working it up. And that is pretty much like a queen size bed size. And was this supposed to be for my daughter? I actually started this her junior year in high school.
Oh, that's right. It was going to
be her graduation gift. She is now a junior in college. But she, I wanted it for her for college. So I was like, well, that's too, you know, that's too wide. Let's just turn it the other way and we'll work that way. It really bothered me, the mitered squares without the lines going straight up. I don't, it like them being horizontal.
No, did not work I can see it.
That didn't work. But I kept on with that and I was working on it. And I'm like, I just don't like, you know, I prefer it that way, but that's going to take forever. And I'm like, well, what if I shifted it and found a way to fill in these gaps and make it square, like in a different, like basically turned it on the diagonal. So instead of, this would be so much better in a video podcast, but instead of the lines, the miter center lines going straight up and down, if I turned it so that they were on the diagonal.
Okay, I can see it now.
Take that, and then you have these, you know, the edges, instead of making the zigzag, you've got, they're making edges, but you've got these patches that need to be filled in. Very hard to visualize. I had to like lay it on the floor and like look at it to figure out what I did. But I did that, and then I was able, doing that, I had a very concrete vision of how big this needed to be. What I needed to do to fill it in, and counted the number of squares I would need, which was something like 215, 216, which is a lot, and it'll still take a while. But I have a very concrete goal now.
Yeah.
And that seems to be working. I had to change the way I was joining them because the way it was, you had, basically you would pick up stitches on one, on two of the diagonal edges. And then work the miter square. Another thing, hard to explain. But now I'm having to pick up along one edge and then cast on a certain number of stitches to get that left leg going. But I figured it out. I was really proud of myself because I figured out how to actually make it work without looking anything up. And it seems to be going pretty well. So that was the first one. Second one is Quaker Lines, which is a pattern by Susan Ashcroft. And she has another name. I mean, like her, she has like a design name.
Stitchner.
That's right. It is Stitchner. She makes a lot of, she has a lot of designs that are perfect for hand spun. And one of the ones that's super popular is Quaker Yarn Stretcher. And this is a variation on that, but it's more of kind of the shape of like a find your fade that starts out with a point and then works and gets bigger. And then you have this, it ends up asymmetrical, but I am at a point now where you can't really see that yet. One side gets longer while the other side decreases.
Okay.
And this is, the yarn I'm using is hand spun from Three Waters Farm and is in the Birds and the Holly colorway, which, looking at it, the most dominant colors are red and turquoise, I think, and it's kind of teal. I think I mentioned last time when I first started, I wasn't so sure there was a lot of dark yarn at the tip, and I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. But as I have gone along, I've got these stretches. I don't remember how far I was. I don't know if I had done, I guess I had done this red patch and some of the turquoise. I must not have gotten all that much done on this. The progress keeper would be nice. But I'm much happier with it now that it's moving along. I'm not 100% sure that my stitch count is exactly right, but I don't think it matters for this.
In the grand scheme, it's not.
There's nothing that, there's no waste that's going to have to line up or anything like that.
I love the colors.
Those colors are so pretty.
I do too. It's very rustic. This is relatively early hand spun of mine, but it was after I was more consistent. So it's probably one of the earlier good skeins that I have. The next up is Argent, which is the fourth pattern in Hunter Hammerson's first curls book. Yeah. Zipping yarn. Okay. doing this in Cascade Heritage Sock in Royal Blue. This is when Darcy, I mean, Katie and I debated over whether or not it's purple or blue. I think it's more purple than blue, but the color, I believe, was Royal Blue. Yeah, I don't know. It's
even I'm on the fence, and I have, like, one of those weird eyesights where I can...
It's more purple. It's kind of blueberry, I think. It's between.
It's between. It's like,
a blurple.
It's a, it, totally, yes. Yeah. I will accept this.
But, it I think would it go just either way.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you wear it with.
Yep. But it's one of the more basic, well, it is the easiest curls pattern I've done. It's just a really basic lace pattern that gets bigger as it goes. Pretty mindless knitting. I do have to keep the pattern up just because each line is different. But it's only different at the very end, like, actually, the part that curls, which is this tip, that's the part that I have to pay attention to once it's the same pattern throughout. So, that is, I mean, again, I really should get progress keepers, but I probably had about, maybe, well, I think I have one repeat done, which is 12 rows. So, I've done a good section on that one. And then one more. This is actually what I have been working on this week. And it is the Geology Shawl by Very Busy Monkey. I'm using Malabrigo sock in the lettuce colorway. And I actually had not gotten very much done early in the week, but I've put a lot into it over the past few days. So this is a really cool pattern. It's like the name is Geology, so each section is kind of like a layer, and they're separated by garter, three garter rows. So the first section is this just plain stockinette, and then there's a seed stitch section, and then a lace section, and then what it's called escalator, I think is what the pattern was, but it's just this staggered zigzag. And then I am two rows into this section 5, which is this really cool star pattern. If I can pull it up. I don't know if I can pull it up. Let's see. Patterns, projects, that's what I'm looking for. Hello.
Hi.
Most exciting 2 minutes of the podcast. Easier to search in my library. Geology. Okay.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Katie's husband just walked by. So that's why we're kind of laughing, because he's been
friend,
like,
maybe friends are fun with them.
Okay, there. It has this interesting little star pattern, which is
really, really
easy.
That's really cool. Is it? Okay. Yeah.
I was a little, it was one of those, as I was getting to it, I'm like, I'm a little nervous. I don't know how it's going to work. But you can, this part, you can end up making it wider by repeating that section a couple of times if I wanted to. I probably could repeat it once. We'll see how it goes. Because
what yarn is that?
This is Malabrigo sock and lettuce.
I don't know if I have any or not. I have a whole bunch of Malabrigo sock. I don't
there's
know
only
I have any
one. There are only 6 sections, and I've got quite a bit left, so I could weigh it and see. But that is, let's see. I think that's it. I'm really happy with the pattern. It's not mindless, but it's really easy. Let's see, was that it? Oh, and then spinning. I am currently working on a braid of Elemental Fiber Works. It's Targi Bamboo and Silk in the Kepler 16B colorway. And it is, it was supposed to be a gradient from a purple, kind of a reddish purple. Well, it goes, I think there's some more lavendery purple. It's a gradient, so it goes from one to the other into a yellow and gold and orange, which they're not, I didn't want a gradient in that. That just, it didn't, I wasn't sure that I would be really happy with it, and it's not colors that I would wear. Like, the yellow I wouldn't wear. Mm-mm. So what I did, which I don't think I've ever done this before, especially with a gradient, I just took the braid, I think I might have split it in half, but I took it and literally just pulled chunks off of it, tied them into little knots and threw them into a bag, and I'm pulling randomly. So it's actually looking pretty cool so far. We'll see what it looks like once I apply it. If I had really thought about it, this is one I probably could have, I probably could have, what could I have done? Probably could have kept it as singles, but, it kind of reminds me of the Knit Picks, what was the colorway that was Doctor Who themed?
Oh, Time Traveler.
Time Traveler. When the colors aren't showing up right in here, but when I look over at it, it kind of reminds me of that colorway. So, I think it's going to end up pretty cool. And it's a nice spin. All of her prep is really good. So that is all of my works in progress.
Katie hasn't talked to.
I pulled up the thing. I had to edit the notes, but I haven't knit or crocheted in 2 weeks or more because I was having some elbow pain and hand pain. So I chose two bad, really weeks to. to not crochet or knit, but before I stopped knitting, I did start a second For Your Fade. That's by Andrea Mowry. That's the scarf version. I need to update the notes because I just copy and pasted. So I'm using Miss Babs DK in the, how did we decide we were going to say it?
Kawaya
DK, which is a superwash DK in a gradient, self-made gradient from a gray. Did I not cut that? Gray, and then there's, I don't remember all the names off the top of my head. A black with gray and purple, and then the next will be more of a solid purple, and then there's a lighter gray with the purples in it. So it's basically a gray and purple gradient that I made myself. So I started that. I'm through the first repeat. I'm in the fading section right now. You can't really tell very much. But then I was working on a couple hats. I hadn't really touched tread since we recorded last. I did some tread that was at work. It's a hat by Shannon Cook. I'm using Round Table Yarns in her Lancelot, which is a worsted base. I'm using a purple color called Ambrosius. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Ambrosius.
Yeah.
The medieval scholar here can help.
Yeah. And, no, that's all right. That's good enough.
I did start a Bankhead hat in Malabrigo worsted in Hummingbird, which is green, purple, and like dark blue. And then I hadn't really touched my touched.
Well, we're talking like medieval, right? So there you go.
Cool hat, which is by Andrea Mowry. I just started crocheting when we sat down, so we'll see how my hands and my elbows. I buckled up to to see. So we'll see. That's all I got.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying really hard to keep my works in progress at a low count, but I'm having a really hard time because, again, yeah, I'm like you. I've been going through my yarn and going, oh my gosh, this could be this and this could be that. And
daydreaming on the way here.
That's like fantasy knitting.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, and the whole, a friend said, when in doubt, knit a hat. So, of course, like, now I have hats on my brain. You know, it's...
Well, sometimes you just need something that's quick that you can get done in a week that you feel accomplished.
Which is why I do a lot of amigurumi, because I can, like, crank it out. Mm-hmm. But the big projects that I'm working on, I mentioned the targ that I'm doing for Barney Gordon. Mm-hmm. I asked her I had some ideas, but she asked specifically... Purple is her favorite color, mm-hmm. You know, so I'm a good person for it, right?
Oh, you're going to hate that.
I know, yeah. Right? Yeah. So,
it's not black.
I am doing it in the Knit Pick Smitty Stitch in, eggplant. So it's a real, mm-hmm. It's a real purpley
purple.
It's a real purple. And then I found some, I don't know what I found for like you give it kind of this main thing. So I found some that's kind of like purple speckled and, mm-hmm. and the fact that she paid me yesterday means I really need to get my mm-hmm. button gear. So I need to work on that. My Christmas cast on, I actually pulled out the hand spun that, Summer had given me. Ooh. And I'm doing, Wendy's Fern Shawl, which is a pretty simple garter. I think the needles I may be using are too small, but I think
it'll block
out. I think it'll block out like crazy. This is the Elemental Fibers, Mars.
Right.
That you did. And it starts out gold and goes to red and goes to blue.
That's pretty.
And so,
it's
and
so
the,
exciting.
And the pattern I chose has kind of like this kind of Greeky kind of like fern, simple. Mm-hmm. It's really good TV knitting. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm a little worried that I'm using too small a needles, but I think it'll block out fine. Mm-hmm. So I'm...
Yeah. Yeah, garter tends to block out really big.
It does. Like we saw with that close to you. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, although I just realized that I was making a mistake, so I need to go back and change it, which for me is big actually. I decided I'm going to go to the Nerd Knitting Mountain and I'm going to knit myself a Doctor Who scarf. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a cosplay for Comic Palooza, the big Comic Con for us in May. And except instead of the regular Doctor Who colors, I'm doing it in shades of purple. Mm-hmm. With the grays and creams where it normally would be, and then I'm doing a shock of like bright pink, like lipstick pink in there. I just realized a mistake that I was making, so I'm going to have to go back and change it. It's going to, you know, because it's going to be long, but this is a scarf I would wear normally, but I actually found a purple fedora, and I'm just going to do the whole shebang. This is something I've had in my head for a long time, and I thought, you know, kind of, what the hell, I'm going to go to the mountain. That way I can say that I did and then just walk away and be done with it. Lots of dreaming, but I think those are the main things that I have going right now. So
casting on soon. I talked last time, actually this is not a new one because I talked about it last time, it was the Constellate hat by Hunter Hammerson. I never actually checked the color. I think it's Stargazer. By Kimmery Knitnacks. I think where I was last time was when I wanted to double check and make sure my husband would actually wear it because it does have it could wear feminine.
Okay.
But I showed it to him. He's like, yeah, I'd wear that. So I actually will probably cast that on tomorrow. And then the other thing that's been really floating around in my head is a sweater. I want to do a sweater, but I don't have a sweater's quantity, so I'll need to buy that. And number two, I don't know what I want to do. It's kind of impractical to knit one. Well, it's never impractical because I can always hold on to it and wear it next year or wear it inside. But I really want something that I can wear during the summer. So I'm thinking about, number one, doing something short sleeve or at the very most 3/4 sleeve, fingering weight, or maybe even like linen or cotton and linen or something like that. Just because I think it would be, I don't know how much I would enjoy knitting it, but I think I would enjoy wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
don't know about the stretch. I wouldn't have a lot of stretch, and I want something that, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
There's so lots of fibers out there. You could try bamboo or something.
Yeah. I had thought about trying to do something with, I have so much hand spun, trying to do a fade type thing, but I'm most of it is on the heavier side of fingering or DK weight, and I think it would be too warm. Even in the winter indoors, if it were a pullover, I'm not sure it's practical. So I think a fingering weight something is what I'm looking for. I know I was looking at some of Hohe Locatelli's patterns. I know she just released the easy one, which is just a very, very basic boxy sweater that has just like a minor detail on it. I don't even, it was like, I think it's like a 3-needle bind off on the shoulder. So it has like a little ridge. And it's incredibly basic. It would be incredibly boring, but I think it could be pretty and it would be practical.
Yeah.
Especially if I made it short sleeve or 3/4 sleeve. I'm kind of waiting to see what other people do with it. But that's pretty much it, I think. Like, on the driving over here, I was thinking about other yarns. I was listening to Two Knitlet Chicks, and they have a podcast. I mean, they do have a podcast. They have a knit along starting in a couple of weeks that is the Never Have You Ever sock knit along. So to do something with socks that you've never done before. And stretch, I'm like, well, I've done toe up, I've done cuff down, I've tried a lot of different heels. So unless I go way out on a limb, I'm not sure there is anything. But I was like, well, you know, I've never done sport weight socks.
Oh.
And I have a couple of skeins of Twist Fiber Studio that are kind of a DK sport that I'm trying to decide if I would actually want to do them as socks. And again, it comes down to practicality. Sport weight socks in Houston aren't particularly practical. They were fast, but yeah.
I can't really wear that with shoes.
No. Unless I bought some.
I don't know, because I did a worsted weight sock one time, which went crazy fast. And there's not just wearing around the house, but it squished enough that I could wear it with shoes on like those super cold ice days. I could wear them about like twice a year and then around the house.
The thing is that the yarn is so pretty. It's like, do I want something that I'm only going to get to wear every once in a while? Of course, pretty much anything we knit.
I know.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of imagine knitting, lots of possibilities with all of the needles that I reclaimed and organized. I just keep thinking.
See, this is why I do stuffed animals. Yeah. So it's like, they're always in season.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
This is the year I am determined. Oh, yeah, this is the year I am determined to do. I've had it in my queue for like a billion years, and I like to do goofy kind of like vaguely seasonal stuff in my office. Mm-hmm. This year I'm going to do the amigurumi pie guy. The one that looks like the little pie symbol.
Oh, cute.
It's super cute. I think it'll go up. It'll go real quick. I've been wanting to do it for a billion years, and I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
The other thing, I don't have patterns in mind yet, but like I mentioned, I did the dishcloths in January. February, I'm going to do wrist warmers.
Okay.
Or just do little fingering gloves.
I forgot how quick they go.
Right. And I've got, that's perfect scrappy project.
Yeah.
I've got all of these leftovers from the blanket because, you know, I would stop when I didn't think I could make another full round. And I've got lots of really nice yarn, and I think I could do those. I don't know how many I'll get. I'm not getting as many projects done as I would have expected for small things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I could get a couple
anyway.
Fingerless gloves here in Houston isn't year round because of the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've been actually wearing mine in the office a lot because it can get pretty cold.
Well, I have a new office. So because it's in archives, they have to keep it below 70, and so I have to dress for winter.
Yeah, you're going to be wearing all the knit things. It is now. It is your thing.
The first day I need
to borrow the blanket,
a really nice outfit, and I like froze to death all day. I'm like, screw this. I'm wearing winter clothes. I can wear sweaters again.
Yeah.
Did you have anything that you were planning to cast on that you?
I just hope to be able to knit again.
Yeah. Other crafting.
Well, I am starting a temperature blanket.
Oh, that's right.
So that's what I'm sitting here crocheting a swatch because while I can crochet granny squares till the end of the earth, my issue with crocheting is the edges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With turning chains.
Yeah.
So it, you know. So I'm gonna try and do, I don't know, I'll make a square out of this to, A, so I can kind of estimate how many to chain, because I don't want to chain 10 million and have, you know, a tarp, but I don't want to chain, you know, 100 and have a lap blanket either, so I need to work on my, and the pattern's a little, it's like she needs to refine it just a smidge. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah. I'm gonna do a temperature blanket. The nerd in me, well, I had to use IAH because Katie wasn't listed beyond like June or something. So I picked 2017 because I don't want to do a day at a time. Mm-hmm. I want to be able just to pick it up and go.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I had some time on the desk and it wasn't busy, I downloaded the whole year, put it in a spreadsheet, and then used Google spreadsheets to play with the colors so that I can sort it then by the color. So then Michael's had it on yarn on sale. So I bought a whole, you know, like $40 worth of yarn. So I've never actually made any, well, I've made a couple baby blankets or big baby blankets, but I've made a big blanket.
I'm still stalled on, you know, I have like a lap blanket that I've half started and it's like, it's very finite. Like it you make a pixelated heart and I still can't do it.
I have these big granny squares I started over 10 years ago. So the granny squares are all done. They just need to all be sewn together now. So, I don't know. Depending. Well, and I use like Lion Brand Jiffy. Oh. So no. It's like fuzzy acrylic.
Yeah.
Green, and I, you know, at this point, I don't care. I could use Red Heart or something.
You probably could, and it'd probably be fine.
I still have some of the Jiffy, so we'll see.
Other crafty adventures. I picked up my husband's Christmas stocking that I had started cross-stitching, I don't know, a few years ago. I don't even remember. It's one of those I would do a little bit, and I would put it down, and I just could never get into working on it because the pattern is in a book. It's not just in like, it wasn't a kit and it wasn't a single pattern. It was in a book and it was not even, I mean, you know, it's a paperback. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these that won't stay open. And it was just very frustrating. So I finally got smart and decided that I would take a picture. So I just took a picture of just a section of it. And I'm working on just that section. Mm-hmm. I converted the image to a PDF and have it in one of my PDF readers. And I will go in and I will highlight just the stitches or just the symbol that I'm currently working on. And that's made it much more doable.
Okay. Yeah. You scan it.
Because it's one of these that, well, I could scan it to email, which actually might be a really good idea. I'll bring it to work and see how that works. Scanning it, because it's a color-coded,
right.
And I didn't really use the colors, although it doesn't really matter. It's just easier to see them, like the differences.
But you can scan in color.
I could.
But the public ones downstairs, if you have a flash drive, will scan to in color.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. That would be better. The other option is the TechLeak lab. They have one of these where you can just, like, leave the thing open. And
well, and I could probably hook you up. I can't do it for you, but I could probably hook you up.
So there are options.
We know
either
people.
Way, having it in...
It's having nice it to know people.
In a PDF format on my iPad that I can highlight, and the highlights are not permanent, and I can just have section I'm working on made a really big difference, and I'm almost done. I have a section, I don't know, I've probably done a section that's about 4 by 5 inches or something over the past month or so. I guess it's been about a month. I'm almost done. I think I'm going to stop at Michael's on the way home because there was one color that I must have lost. It wasn't, I have them organized on the little bobbins and right. the ring, but this one isn't on there. So I don't know if I didn't. Maybe I forgot to buy it when I bought the thread. I don't know. But I need to do that, so I'll either get that tomorrow or stop on my way home. But I haven't been doing anything else, I don't think. Acquisitions. I haven't gotten anything knitting related, but my birthday was this past week. And no big presents, but just something to talk about. Mm-hmm. So a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and I went to Half Price Books, and I ended up buying a puzzle. It was a really cool puzzle with, it's like a bookshelves with the spines for the most part. But the problem with that is cats, and I don't have anywhere to do it where the cats are not going to knock the puzzle pieces off first.
Yeah.
So my daughter bought me for my birthday one of the puzzle keepers has the big, the felt mat, and then it comes with this tube that you blow up.
It's yeah.
And you can roll it up.
I keep thinking about getting one of those because we also have cats and dogs, and I would be. We like to do puzzles, and it'd be nice to have it.
Yeah, I miss doing them. So we'll see how it goes. I will let you know
how it works out. I would like to know.
The other thing, we've been actually playing board games a little bit, which I'm very excited about. Well, we haven't done much. We've been playing Patchwork. Have you
played Patchwork? No, I haven't played Patchwork.
Yeah, I got it. There was a sale. It was around Black Friday. Amazon had a board game sale, and I got a deal on Patchwork. So I got that one, and Jimmy and I have been playing it. And it's really funny, because we'll set it up on the, we'll put up the card table and set it up in the living room, and we'll turn on Slow TV on Netflix.
Ah!
And we have been watching the train from Bergen to Oslo. as we play this game.
Now, that's a vacation of sorts.
Yes, it's very nerdy.
That's delightful.
But the game itself, it was really quick to learn. Strategy wise, we're still kind of getting there. The first time we played, both of us ended up with negative scores. Is that even right? And I googled it. Because you end up with like a certain number of buttons. And then you're trying to fill up this grid, and you end with like 26 buttons. Well, then you multiply the number of squares and then subtract that from the number of buttons, and we both had like 20 squares still uncovered and like 14 buttons.
I'm going to have to see because this sounds too much math.
It really isn't.
Okay.
It isn't.
Okay.
But, we're really enjoying that, and then there's another one by the same game designer called Cottage Garden.
Okay.
Which is, Patchwork is a two-person game. Cottage Garden is 1 to 4. And it's same concept. You're trying to fill up a board, but there's more to it. And we haven't played it yet.
Okay.
But Jimmy got that for me for my birthday. And then my kids sent me roses.
There were
a lot of roses. I don't know how many, like 3 dozen or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was one of these, it's Pro Flowers, I believe. And if you listen to a lot of podcasts, apparently Laura heard about it on a podcast.
Had
a discount from, one of these podcasts. So they ordered that, and they are really, really pretty. And there's something, Eli has ordered me something that hasn't arrived yet, and I have no idea what it is. And also, I got money from my dad. He always sends me money. And I think that I'm saving that up because Katie and I, and you're welcome to, but I think it will coincide with your dance class.
Okay.
We're going to Park Avenue Yarns.
Yeah, I know Saturday. My dance class kind of messes things up. It's at a weird time.
But, because I think that, didn't you say it's like 10 to 1 or something like that, or 10 to 2?
Like 9:30 to 3:30 or something.
Oh, it might be like a little 2:30. Bit. Yeah. It's still the
timing. Yeah, the timing, I know, it's just like where my class is.
But, Suburban Stitcher is doing a trunk show down there, so we're going to go down there. And I'm actually kind of holding on to that check, and I'm waiting. I think I'm going to wait to cash it or deposit it at the end of the week and use that for either a sweater's quantity of something or, it will be for yarn. I was like, I don't know what to buy with it. Jimmy's like, yarn?
So
I'm like, yes, I know, but I want to spend it wisely. So that's all that I have. What about you?
Do you have anything, Katie?
For acquisitions?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
I've still been buying yarn, even though I can't knit or crochet.
Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
You don't have to knit it. It's pretty on its own.
This is, I think, the third and final installment of the Bull and Vine Inner Circle Yarn Club. She fell in love with the Sarah J. Maas books, the not the first series, but the second series, A Court of Thorn and Roses, that series. Everything that's YA has crown, thorn, or sword, or glass in it, so yes. They all blend together in my head.
Yes.
And I actually haven't read that series yet.
And now it's Crow and Raven, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's in there. I order in that area now. So
I was teasing the YA librarians because they did like blue covers one day. And I said to Rebecca, I'm like, you really need to do one with, you know, crown and thorn and all these words in the title.
Yep.
Anyway, so I was able to get in on her club that honored these books, A Crown of Rose and Thorns or whatever it was, by Sarah J. Maas. And so this is the third one. I think it was just a 3-month club. I got it on her footsie base, which is an 80-20. It's a BFL actually with nylon. So and this one's very purple mauves.
That's really
a little bit
pretty.
Of reds. Mm-hmm. And then the other two are more blues and stuff like that. So I actually haven't used any of my Bull and Vine yet, but, so that was the club installment. And then I really I'm still in the speckles, even though I really haven't knit with any of the speckles. In my head, I'm doing all these fades. I got some yarn from Long Dog yarn.
And now we're 12.
Hey, we've all seen 16 candles.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So everyone's turned a bright shade of red.
She does a lot of speckled yarns, muted, and then there are some brights as well. So I got 3 skeins of her Bounce sock, which is a 75-25. One of them is called Parisian Mist, so it's a really pretty pale lavender or lilac color with some splashes of dark purple and like a goldy rust color.
That's really,
like that so much.
I like her aesthetic. We had seen some of her stuff at Stitches, and I've bought 3 or 4 skeins of her stuff since then. And then I'm working, in my head, you know, again, the perfect purple fade. This is Freshwater Pearl, so it's a very pale gray with dark purple speckles. And then the other one I had to get, and I like teal, is called A Pirate's Life.
Oh, that's perfect
for you.
So it's like an aqua with the that same rusty yellow orange sections and some dark.
There's the lady. Sorry, we're looking at birds outside.
There's
a lady cardinal.
So I got those 3. And then the other acquisitions I have to talk about are I was enabled by the yarn hoarder, like everybody else. She touts about, it used to be Polymer Clay Creations, and now it's Happy Polymer Crochet Hooks. And so Amber from Yarn Hoarder had shown on one of her recent podcasts the ombre handles. Because the polka dot ones didn't really do a whole lot for me. But the ombre ones were really pretty. So I'm like, I feel like buying something. So I went on her website, and there was like a 10%, there's a coupon there. And you can choose the head, either the boy or the Bates hook. The head, if you crochet, there's different types of heads. Or, yeah, that's what it's called. And anyway, so I picked a purple ombre, so it's purple to a pearly white, and it's got like a heart, kind of a heart imprinted on it. And then the one I'm glad I clicked through. I got skulls. If you know me, I love anything piratey or with skulls. So it's, you know, a pewter to silver with skulls imprinted on it. So I am in love. And you know how everyone uses their fancy signatures for their sock yarn blankets? I'm going to hopefully use this one for my temperature blanket. And then I also got some of the skull stitch markers.
I'm so impressed with, I was telling you earlier, I'm so impressed with how smooth those handles are, because, you know, I've worked with polymer clay before, and I'm sure she has some kind of sealant on there, but they feel amazing. Just amazing.
Just so smooth.
Yeah, that's the smoothness that I'm just, because I have no idea how to do that other than to put some kind of finishing, which means that they'll just feel really good.
And they're handmade, so I wasn't paying attention when I ordered them. I accidentally had ordered all the same hook size, and I wanted a J and a K, so I emailed right away, and she's like, you know, it's not a problem. They're made to order, so I got a J and a K. Those are kind of the two sizes I use a lot. And then I had the 10% off, so that was nice. But it took about a week and a half or so to get them, and they came in a really cute little package. So I highly recommend them. I don't have any fancy hooks, so.
I love fancy hooks. I dream of them.
Got my skulls.
I didn't get any yarn acquisitions. The only thing, and this kind of relates back to the Porg of Spite, is to prove to my daughter that I would have probably bought this anyway, but again, this is another case of like, and now I'm going to show my daughter, and she's going to know how cool her mother is. And she goes, I bought this book called Dumpling Cats. And it's basically, it's if you know Neko Atsume, she's kind of been inspired, and there's like all these different types of cats, different sizes. They're doing different things, so it's going to be really interesting structurally.
Oh, those are so cute.
They have little food bowls. They have little beds. They have a cardboard box. They have little outfits. It's ridiculous, and they're all pretty small, so I think, you know, it's one of those things that if I chose, I could do like a cat a week and crank them out. So I kind of left it on my daughter's bed, and of course each drawing has like a little story on it, and let her choose. It's like, well, you know, I'm going to make them, so in what order? And you know, just to, again, to remind her, you know, your mom does pretty good things. I don't know. I should let it go. She's going to be
at that age where
she's a tween. Yeah. She's going to be, but I kind of like, I don't know. It's another, I'm doing a lot of spite creation.
I potentially made, I don't know if maybe I'm giving myself too much credit, but Laura's friend's roommate has knit a little bit. And of course, you know, they're college students. They don't have any money.
No, they have no money.
And I keep thinking, I'm like, I need to do a stash toss.
Oh,
and
that would be so great.
I'm like, you know, I have stuff. I have some knit. Some of this is stuff that I inherited from someone else.
Right.
Who got rid of a bunch. But I have like some knit. It was not you. there was like, someone had a kit for like a bunny or something from Knit Picks, or a doll or something. So there's like some Knit Picks stroll bear, or actually I may have dyed that, but like some pink and some brown and some color, you know, that I was like, well, you know, I might want that. And I kept it, and I've not knit with it, and I'm not excited about knitting with it, but it's like, this would be perfect for someone who's, you know, beginning knitter. And it's not bad. It's cheap, or it's inexpensive, but not cheap.
Right. Yarn. It's nicer yarn.
Yeah. But. And it's, you know, more than it's better than going to Michael's or Joanne or somewhere and grabbing it for the most part. And there's some other things in there too. So Laura had neglected to ask them ask her if she wanted it. And they're at our house right now. And I was like, hey, are you interested in this? And they kind of looked at me like, yes. So, like, at some point in the near future, I plan to do this. And if you are interested, I will pass it along. So, it's my good deed. Or, my imagined good deed. But, anyway, let's move on to reading and watching. I'll do in the kitchen at the end, too, in case someone's interested. But, what I actually remember about these. I finished High Country by Nevada Barr, which is one of the Anna Pigeon books. This one was set in... Where's High Country? I can't actually remember where this was set or anything about it at the moment. That doesn't... It was actually
It's like really I wanted to venture a thing and now I'm afraid to venture anything.
It was, let's see, I gave it 4 stars, so it was a good Anna Pigeon novel. But I can't remember anything about it at the moment.
There was an article lately about, like, why we don't remember what we read.
I read that, actually. I don't remember anything about it.
That's why Reader's Advisory is, like, a struggle. I liked it.
I was like, my favorite book is the one I'm currently reading.
It was in Yosemite. It was set in Yosemite. She was undercover. As you know, there had been some workers at Yosemite had gone missing, and she went undercover to see what she could find out. And of course, you know, there were drugs involved and all of this stuff. And it was really good. Par for the course series mystery, but it was really good. I enjoyed it. Now that I remember it, then I read The Book of Three by Lloyd Alexander, which I had never read. That's a classic kids' book. Fantasy. The series is The Black Cauldron is part of that series. So if you've seen the Disney movie, the characters involved in that are the characters in this. Is the first in the series. I really enjoyed that one. I gave that 5 stars. And then I read Infinite In Between by Carolyn Mackler. I saw that. I don't know if you remember, but you had given it 5 stars. I think.
That's the one about them in high school, right?
Yeah, they start out, it was a freshman orientation group.
They stick notes in the wall or something.
They write letters to their future selves, and then it goes through their high school careers. And these are not people, it's not like a group that becomes friends. They brush shoulders a bit, you know, some of them become friends, but it's typical high school. These people you meet on the first day that you may or may not interact with again. And I actually really, really loved that book. I was one of those that I could have read it in a day had I had the time to do it. I would be reading it on the bus and be like, I want to stop.
I've always liked her stuff.
I've never read anything else by her. She did.
Begin Bridge and Valentine. I've always liked her stuff. And I think she got sick or something for a while, and that's why she didn't write for like 4 or 5 years. And she did a book with Jay Asher, who wrote 13 Reasons Why.
All right.
The Future of Us. But I've always liked Carolyn Mackler.
It was just very well written. The character development was really, really good. It was compelling. It was tender. Just a really good YA read that I definitely would recommend it. Now, that said, I was telling Laura and Jimmy what I was reading, and I started describing it, and I said, is this The Breakfast Club? I was like, if this would be more like if at the end of The Breakfast Club, where they've all bonded, if it went on from there and like went through their different lives in hell, they didn't interact. But one of the main characters is a band geek. One of them's was like a He was sporty, Mr. Popular, who is gay, and he had come out, he was forced out of the closet in middle school. And one girl who was, she was super, super nerdy and awkward, and, it was all of these characters that very much aligned.
The description says The Breakfast Club meets Boyhood in this struggling adult novel.
But that one I really, really liked. And then I'm currently...
I gave it 5 stars, but I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, so not good. Like, if you could go back, you probably would knock it down one. But and I'm currently reading Legend by Marie Lu, which is another YA book that I am really, really enjoying. I'm almost done with that one.
I may have that one. I don't remember that.
She's one of those. She's one of the very popular YA authors. I read something saying it was derivative of Hunger Games. I don't think it's derivative of Hunger Games. It's just dystopian YA fiction. I mean, there's...
Well, maybe that it was written...
It was probably around...
Of Hunger Games, and so everything is, you know, wrapped around Hunger. You know, you associate to that world.
Right, right.
But I'm really liking it. I immediately added the second in my series, in the series, to my list. So if I continue with the series, I really liked it, but... That's it, and I haven't been really watching anything of interest right now. Nothing that stands out. So,
I haven't read a ton in the last couple weeks, but I have read Everless by Sarah Holland. This is a YA book.
That one, the description just kind of looks like mine.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's another one of those, she's a special girl that doesn't know she had powers.
But somebody said it was like Labyrinth.
I've never seen Labyrinth.
Oh my god! Sorry. that was like a formative move for me.
I haven't read Harry Potter either. So, I enjoyed Everless. It's a new series. Where time is currency. So your blood, they bleed you and that earns you money. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of fantasy magic involved. The girl, her name is Jules, her and her father had spent time at the palace, and then something happens and they run away. And then she ends up coming back to the palace and starts to find out more information. I'm not telling this very well. but, you know, because she knows the two princes that are at the palace. And, you know, she always has this thought in her head that the one prince is really, really evil. And he's not really. But it is well worth the read. I gave it 4 stars. I keep meaning to write a review before I forget. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it, so I would highly recommend it if you like Three Dark Crowns or any, if you like the YA fantasy type stuff. This is a little different with a twist, a little bit of a different take on the genre. So
I'm still back on the fact that you haven't seen Labyrinth, but that's okay.
And then we'll have to have a girls' weekend. And we'll invite Heidi and Jeanette and whoever else wants to come with us. But Jeanette has never seen Top Gun.
What?
He's never seen Labyrinth. I'm sure there's something I
haven't
seen.
Oh, I know that there's something I haven't seen. There's like, this,
we'll just see all of these movies.
Never seen Footloose either.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've seen it a lot of the time.
There was a slumber party where they played it over and over.
And then up next in my queue is The Young Ones. Is that it? It's by Kandari Blake. It's a novella that's part of the Three Dark Crowns series that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the story about the three sisters when they were little at the cabin before they're split up and taken away to the different families. That's all I've read or am intending to read.
I've been reading a whole lot. I'm supposed to be judging Tournament of Books for our library system. So because I suggested the book Bull, which is a kind of a book and poetry that I read last year. It's on the nonfiction, so I'm going to end up judging the nonfiction side. So I'm busy catching up reading all the other stuff. One of them is March, book one, mm-hmm. which was, you know, amazing. And one of them is Trevor Noah's biography. Yeah. It's kind of like a cross.
Born a Crime.
Born a Crime. Yeah. And it's like, because the idea that it's a crossover title from teen to adult.
Yeah.
And there's another one that I'm reading right now about a girl in Siberia, who was sent to Siberia. I can't remember. I'm working my way through. It's, of course, you know, because it's literature, it's depressing. Mm-hmm. But, so I'm working through that. The one book that I kind of have been a bit of an evangelist for, it's a graphic novel and it's in all ages. It's for kids. It's called The Tea Dragon Society. It's by Katie O'Neill, and actually it's a webcomic, so you can go and read the whole thing on there. She is a New Zealand artist, and she's done some other things, but this it's one of those pretty watercolory kind of things, and the concept is that in this world, you raise these dragons who grow little flowers and leaves on their horns. And you raise them in such a way so that when it matures, then you pick the flowers and leaves and you make a tea. And then that tea transfers the memory of the dragon to you.
Oh.
So it's an idea of caring. So the pictures are super squishy and adorable. It's an incredibly diverse cast. You can tell that they're different creatures, I'm guessing, like tieflings and satyrs, but they have multicolored, they're different skin colors. Two of them you can tell are in kind of a same-sex long-term relationship. One of them is a paraplegic because he was, I mean, it's like, it's got, without screaming, hey, look how diverse we are, you know, it's like, it's there in a really way that's very sweet. It's about friendship. It's a really squishy, sweet book. And then she has an almanac in the back saying, this is like, here's a Rulibus dragon. And this is like, this is the, and it ties it back to like actual tea. And it's so cute. And it was one of those things like, and of course my daughter says, I want you to crochet me a dragon. I'm like, huh. But,
now she's old enough. You were like, here, let me show you how to crochet.
Maybe. Anyway. But I actually contacted I was talking back and forth with the author on Twitter, and Oni Press, as part of a conversation, they had leftover, they have the chamomile dragon, which is this little yellow dragon with like the flowers on the horns. They had like a few plushes left over, and these are little plushes, so they sent me one. And that was so nice. I was able to like surprise my daughter with it. It was very cute. So it was a really nice experience. Oni Press is amazing.
That reminded me of, I was in the staff lounge one day and I was talking to one of our coworkers, Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what, we were talking books about something and I don't remember how, but she mentioned Blank Check. Check. What's the name? Oh my gosh. Check, please. Here I go again. it's about the gay figure skater. What is it called?
The first thing that comes up is the manga Yuri on Ice.
It's,
which I haven't been.
I'll recognize it if I see. Oh, yes, it is. Check, please.
Okay.
Check. So the author is Ngozi Okazu.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ngozi Okazu used to be, Okazu was Anne Okazu, I believe. She went to Bel Air and was on Quiz Bowl with
Jim. Oh, my gosh.
And have you read, that's what it was. She's like, have you read Check, Please? And I'm like, that sounds really familiar.
I think I started her on Twitter.
Probably. She's really super popular.
Yeah.
She started talking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't read it, but, my husband supported the Kickstarter and, he taught her and they're like, she was like, good buddies with him. It was like one of his favorite classes. She graduated around the same time as Sorry You and all of these people, that he really connected with. But she was, just completely fangirling. He's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know she was from Houston. She should go to Comic Palooza. And I told Jimmy, he's like, she goes to Comic Palooza every year.
I'm sure.
but it was just, she was a massive fangirl and it was like, yes, I've met her. She's
love
really
experiences
funny.
That
She's really
like
good.
That. The other things that's like, I'm watching, of course, I'm watching a lot of the Geek and Sundry. I'm watching Shield of Tomorrow. Critical Role has just started a new campaign, so I'm following that. And I've got great characters that the artwork is amazing that people come up with. It's just, it's so lush. Watching RuPaul's Drag Race, of course. Mm-hmm. But I have nobody to talk to about it, and it's driving me kind of crazy. And then I'm almost done with all four seasons of Black Mirror, and it's really messing with my mind.
I watched, I think, two episodes of the first one, and it's too much for me. Jimmy really likes it. It's too dark and too...
Okay, so this is what I did. I watched season four, which actually has a lot of hopeful endings.
Oh, hmm.
So it kind of got me used to the world, and then I was able to, and then I was able to go back and watch like the really creepy, creepy stuff, because I remembered how much the first episode of season four of the USS Callister, it kind of scratched my itch because it was very, it part of the story takes place in a Star Trek-like environment, without, you know, of course, with being like playfully satire, but a lot of them have really hopeful endings. And yeah, some of the episodes have some really sweet endings and are worth following. And yeah, some of them are just crushing. And there is one of them that I had to stop because it was just the implications of what happened earlier. And I can't even say it without giving spoilers. The episode of Shut Up and Dance, if you've watched it, and about the people who have to do all these crimes that are being blackmailed. That one, when I got to the end, it's just like I was going back and thinking about what happened earlier in the episode, and I kind of So that one stopped me in my tracks for a while, but yeah, I'm kind of loving Black Mirror, but I do it in small chunks.
So in the kitchen, I am continuing to with my year of the cookie experiment, and so is my coworker, Sima. we've been kind of cooking out of the same cookbook a little bit, but I mentioned the last one, the most recent one I had done were the cocoa cayenne cookies, which were kind of, they're very dark and not super sweet and had a little bit of a kick. They were really good. Sima actually ended up bringing them that same recipe last week or the week before, and what really impressed me was how they tasted just like the ones I made.
Oh,
so it was just good. Repeatable.
This
that is from Dory's Cookies by Dory Greenspan, I think is her name. And then Sima had actually made these other ones from that book. Both of them are shortbreads, but this one was like Parmesan.
Like a Parmesan, savory cookie?
Yes, just a little sweet. It was Parmesan, fresh rosemary, and roasted pecan shortbread. And they were incredible.
Melt in your mouth.
Okay. And they were sweet, but not
they were
super,
sweet.
Super
sweet. Okay.
And you couldn't, like, the Parmesan was not, I would never have known it was Parmesan in there.
That's so weird.
they were really good. But out of that book, I made blueberry buttermilk pie bars, which Jimmy really liked. Eli said they were a little eggy. They were kind of like you make a crust and then it has like a custard. I am assuming that is. Hopefully we did not lose audio.
Uh-oh.
It's still recording. I'll have to listen to that a little bit. Where am I? 88 minutes. Just make sure my screen went to sleep and I'm not sure if it was still recording. Anyway, I'm talking about blueberry buttermilk pie bars just in case. It's a crust with like a custard, it's supposed to be like a buttermilk pie, with blueberries in it. Jimmy really liked them. I like it. The crust has cornmeal in it. And so it had a nice texture.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't terribly keen on the flavor. They were good, but I think I think it depends on your taste. There was nothing wrong with the recipe, but I was not completely sold. Then I made last week garam grams, which were basically homemade graham crackers that have garam masala, which is an Indian spice. They tasted a lot like ginger snaps or gingerbread. I think it depends. Garam masala can be all kinds of different blends, so the flavor would vary based on what kind of garam masala you're using. These were ones I wasn't really sure. I brought them in to work, and I wasn't sure what the reception would be because they're unique, and I don't know that I work with a bunch of adventurous eaters for the most part. And they were gone by the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't label them as garum because I just said homemade graham crackers. And our boss, Rick, walks past and is like, who made graham crackers? And he's like, doesn't usually pay attention to these things. So he's like, Summer, you made these? And when Fred goes and he takes one, he's like, and Fred is not, Fred is my boss and Katie's boss now, but, he is not a big sweets.
No, it's not. No.
And he's like, I'm telling him that I don't even know somehow, or we're talking about the fact that I made these, and he's sitting there talking to me, and he's like, excuse me just a minute. And like, gets up and goes and gets it. And he's like, these are very good. And later in the day, he walks past, and he has another one. He's like, you need to make these all the time. So.
When's your review?
That's definitely a hit.
I will bring this in when my review.
Yesterday, I made butterscotch no bakes, and I meant to bring them to let y'all try. This is from Sally's Cookie Addiction, and these are super, super easy. They're like, if you've ever
I've done these kind of things. Yeah.
It's literally butterscotch chips, peanut butter, and cornflakes. Mm-hmm. You melt them and mix in the cornflakes, mm-hmm. and they're delicious. And those were a hit too. Not baking, but we went out. We had a gift certificate to Killen's Steakhouse in Pearland yesterday that we went and used for my birthday, and had steaks and dessert and drinks, and it was just so good. It was really good. It was interesting because they had wet aged steaks and dry aged. And okay. I never really had them. So Jimmy got one and I got the other and we compared. And it was interesting to do. It was kind of like having a steak flight.
Yeah.
We were sampling the two. And I prefer the wet. The dry was, I like a juicy steak.
I do too.
And the flavor was really good. And it was definitely still medium rare, but it was dry.
I wonder what it'd be. I mean, did they ever do them rare?
They would actually do, like, it had the temperature scale. Like, there mm-hmm. was one that was, like, blue, which was, like, rare. I mean, it's practically rare.
We'll just put it on the plate from the
fridge. That's pretty much, almost like a tartare.
We'll wave it over the grill.
There was blue, it was, like, blue, rare, medium rare.
Because I don't think I'd want it, like, that rare, but a good rare steak is really good.
I love a medium rare.
I like, but I mean, even more on the rare side, more on the rare side.
But yeah, so that
my husband introduced me to that, and I've never walked away.
I don't understand that eating leather. That just doesn't.
I don't either. I don't understand.
But that's, I know, to each their own.
I know.
And I know better.
Yeah. I know. That's precious.
I think it's just, I think it's the idea of, I mean,
it's the idea. It's totally the idea. I get it.
But still, so I can understand, and if you're a vegetarian, I'm really, really sorry about,
I know,
about
right?
this conversation. But then we had carrot cake for dessert, which was just incredible. But both of them, like, I had to stop. I'm like, we had, like, this much cake left. I'm like, I cannot eat another bite. I cannot physically eat another bite. But we had this great waiter. He was young, and he was just super nice, and like, I wanted a drink, and I'm like, well, what do you recommend? And he was like, he would like talk to me about the different ones and which ones he liked and what he thought, well, what do you like? And it was just really good. And then like, he was attentive before we ate, and then while we had our food, we didn't see him for a long time. And he comes back, he's like, well, I was just letting you have your time with your steak, basically.
Well, that's how it should be.
I agree.
He was just a perfect waiter. He was really good.
That's cool.
Yeah. But, I guess that's it. I think, hopefully we didn't lose. It doesn't look like a lost audio in there. There's not any.
What if more than a minute or two?
Yeah.
I've been kind of watching the screen. I don't think, if it went off, I apologize. If it's disjointed, I'm probably not going to go through and listen to it because there's nothing I can do about it anyway.
No.
But
I'm not going to get, well, I'll get ranty about other things. I don't want to get ranty about the same things.
Yeah. But anyway, we will, like we said before, we're trying to get into a regular schedule. We haven't exactly decided what that schedule will be, but since none of us work weekends anymore, it's much easier to try to come up with a schedule and say, this is when we're going to record, and if we can't, you know, we just can't make it, it's, you know, we know that at least that's when it's going to be, instead of trying at last minute, hey, are you available? Especially when, I mean, even though Katie and I work on in the same department now, her office moved across. It's so straight. I don't run into her in the bathroom anymore. But anyway, we will talk to you either sometime later this month or early next month. And we hope you have a great time. Until then, bye.
Bye.